Amen. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to first to Hebrews 11, and keep your finger in there, and then turn over to Judges. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 8, verse 29, or pardon me, 23. Judges 8, 23. So, if you've got those two places, we'll first be reading Hebrews 11, 32, and then we'll flip over to Judges 8:23. So once we've found our places there, so it's Judges 8:23. Verse 23. All right. And Hebrews 11, verse 32. So if you're able to stand with me, please stand, and we'll begin reading Hebrews 11, 32. Hebrews 11, 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." And turn over then to Judges 8, 23. 8:23. I had the verse for the week tossing to and fro with, so I would do Judges 7:2 or this one here in 8:23. Both good verses. The one in 7:2, I'll just read that again. The verse for the week: "The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." Okay, so that's a good verse, that it's God that is doing the saving there. And then here in Judges 8:23, "And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for these witnesses to thy faithfulness throughout history. And so here's Gideon, a witness to thy faithfulness. The fact that it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, dear God. And so too here, he's Gideon saying he won't rule over us. You, the dear God, Lord in heaven, will rule over us. And so we say the same thing, and we look to the same thing for you to be our ruler. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. So carrying on in our cloud of witnesses to God's many attributes and to many God's many deeds in the life of mankind here. We find that chapter 11 of Hebrews is full of all these witnesses, and we've discussed so many in this series already. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Moses' parents and the people of God and Rahab and Joshua. Now, here is Gideon. And verse 32 starts off by saying, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon." He's already talked at length, but we can see these people. We can see the full length of the story regarding them in the Old Testament. And so that's why we turn over to Judges. And so there were judges in the land after that Israel, the children of Israel, came out of captivity, out of bondage in Egypt. And then when we were talking about Rahab, we learned that after their children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, they crossed now the Jordan River into the promised land, and there were battles to be fought. And the first battle was with on the west side of Jordan. The first battle was with Jericho. And how did they win the battle in Jericho? What's the testimony of God there? God made the walls fall down flat. Isn't that something? And so they were able to go straight up and conquer the city. And so they still had work to do, but it's God that led the way by taking down the walls, and they fell flat. So that was in Joshua that we read all of that. So here the people are in the land, and God has conquered so many of the enemy there. But what happened to the children of Israel? They were wealthy and satisfied and started straying from God into idolatry. And so Joshua dies there at 110 years of age. And in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." So they knew not the Lord. That is so important. It's not to... Maybe they remember Joshua. I'm sure they remember Joshua. I'm sure they remembered Moses. But did they remember the Lord? And so if you look in... continuing on in chapter 2, verse 20, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel." And remember, there's about like probably, you know, a couple of million people. "The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also have not henceforth driven out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." So it's not saying that he wouldn't want to drive them out at all. It's just that he's not driving them out hastily because the people have turned against God. So the whole point is to have worship of God and thanks to God for his victories. And here they had followed other gods. It's a generation that rose up, and they knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel for Israel. So in chapter 3 of Judges, we see three judges of the land. God gave judges to the land that would, when they cried out to God, "Oh God, we're sorry, we've disobeyed thee." Well, in chapter 3, that happened, and God would send, in this case, the first one was Othniel. And then he also sent Ehud, and he sent Shamgar. And And so then chapter 4, he's now sending Deborah. And so chapter 4, verse 5, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. And so chapter 4, verse 4, and Deborah, prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel camped or came up to her for judgment. And so Deborah, there was a fourth judge, and in each case, these judges came and they helped the people to turn back to the Lord. And when the people did turn back to the Lord, then there was rest in the land. For example, in verse 11 of chapter 3, it says, and the land had rest for 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Well, then he died, and then the children, verse 12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Okay, and then God raised up Ehud, and then also Shamgar. And so in each case, like in verse 30 of chapter 3, and so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. How much is 80? 4 times a score is 20. So 4 times 20 is 80. Yeah, 80. So 80 years. They had rest for 80 years. So one time they had rest for 40 years. One time they had rest for 80 years. After the judge had delivered them. And so the judge is like these judges in the land, and Israel ended up having 15 judges to help them out of their waywardness. They've gone astray from the Lord. And then a judge comes and straightens them out and tells them the way of the Lord. And they do. They repent and they follow the Lord. And then there's rest. There's rest for 40 years, 80 years. Because that's a picture of what it is to have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate judge. And not only that, he's their deliverer. Similar to these judges, we're not only judges giving judgment on when people are arguing or whatever, then somebody has to be the judge to rule all that. And they make offenses against one another. There's a judge. They were also the deliverers. They helped to deliver these people from their enemies. And so Jesus Christ is the ultimate judge, and he's the ultimate deliverer to deliver us from the enemy. And so part of the enemy is our own willfulness, our pride. It's from within, out of the heart of man, proceed all kinds of wicked thoughts and deeds. And so that's an enemy. And then Satan is right there to stoke the fire. And he's an enemy. And he's that enemy that the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered effectively at Calvary. But ultimately, we're looking for that complete deliverance from Satan and from self. And when we shall be with the Lord. So now, in chapter 5... is another hymn. Like it's a, I haven't really spent too much time on it, but chapter 5 of Judges is a beautiful song, and I don't know why. I haven't looked this one up, but wouldn't that be great if these songs were available to us? Like sometimes it's really easy to memorize stuff when it's part of a song. So anyway, that's quite exciting. Well, some of you young people, if you might be inspired to be like Isaac Watts or Fanny Crosby. You got the words right there. Now the hard part is to make it like into a song, but if you're sharp and clever and God leads you into that, that'd be tremendous. Judges chapter 6. So chapter 6, 7, and 8 are about Gideon. So, Judges chapter 6, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. 7 years they're under the hand of Midian. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So sometimes you look at pictures of Israel, you see from ancient time, many thousands of years ago, people had carved into the rocks caves. Well, that's some of them were at this time when the children of Israel were afraid of these Midianites. And verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown, planted their crops, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou comest unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. Now Gaza is that strip down to the southwest along the Mediterranean that actually, about 2007, Sharon gave that up to the Muslims, and now they've got all kinds of trouble because they surrendered that land for no reason at all other than land for peace. Well, it didn't bring peace. It brought actually more trouble because now they are closer to the center of Israel to fire their rockets in. Verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, it's really interesting. We're seeing this nowadays. Without number, they weren't, they weren't, like here, we know where everybody lives. You have an address, people are accountable for what they do and where they live. Here, they were just coming in. We see the hordes coming in. Reminds me of Rome, when the Vandals just took over Rome. They just flooded in. And so now our leaders think this is a great idea. It's called Build Back Better, is to just let the hordes come in with no accountability. They don't have to be tested for COVID, but the residents do. And so kind of without, and definitely without number. And so how pertinent that is, we have yet to see what that will bring. But, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Verse 9, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So now, are you a believer in Christ? Have you trusted Christ for salvation? And you have troubles in your life? Now, not all troubles are for disobedience, but many of my troubles as a believer have been for my disobedience to the Lord. And so, even though God has a promise to keep me at peace, his peace he gives to his believers, yet many times I've been without peace. And so here, this prophet is saying, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Are you obeying the voice of the Lord right now? Remember, we've been talking about this before. This is the will of this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Are you dealing with things in your life that you know are sin, that are wrong? Are you dealing with them and looking up scripture that pertains to that? And God will give you the strength to overcome these things by his Holy Spirit. Verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So, yeah, look at that. He was trying to thresh his grain, hiding it from the Midianites. As what we just read before was that they wanted to destroy that as enemies. In verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. So here's the angel of the Lord, and we believe that this is actually the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. Remember what incarnate means? When God became flesh, right? That's what incarnate means. And so this is before Christ came as a baby to die on the cross for us. This is before that. And so he appears to Gideon. And why do we think that this is the Lord God? So what happens was Gideon says, look, I'll go. Will you excuse me? I'm going to go. And what Gideon did, he went and prepared an offering to sacrifice to this angel. Now remember, angels that are not God, so this is the angel of the Lord, but angels like Michael the archangel and Gabriel the angel, they don't allow people to worship them, right? Well, here Gideon went and he prepared an offering, and verse 20, the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Verse 22, and when Gideon perceived, when he perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for behold, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Now remember when we talked about Moses in Deuteronomy, sometimes I get those mixed up. Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, it says that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, how can that be? Because in the same chapter it says that the Lord said, thou canst not see my face, and this is God saying, that for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said unto me, behold, there is a place by me, thou shalt stand upon a rock. And we know from 1 Corinthians 10:4 that rock was Christ. Okay? And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And so, in the same way that Moses spoke with God face to face, but in a shielded way, so too the disciples, when Jesus was on earth, he's God in the flesh, and they're speaking with him like a man speaks with a man, face to face. How come they don't get struck dead? You know, because we just read that no man can see God's face, for there shall no man see God and live. Well, because Christ humbled himself and he became that rock that would protect us from the glory of God, because God is a consuming fire. And so you see what happened here. Fire, there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh. And we know that God is a consuming fire. He did that in judgment. Remember, fire came down on Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. But he also does that as a demonstration of his presence and his acceptance. So here, the fire came down on this offering and consumed it all. And that demonstrates that God accepted that offering. And so all that, it's a picture of that fire of judgment of God coming upon the sacrifice. Now, who do we know is the ultimate sacrifice? Who's the fulfillment of the sacrifices? Jesus Christ. All the judgment, the fire of God came upon the Lord Jesus Christ as a punishment. The punishment that we should take, the punishment of hell and the lake of fire that we should take, was all poured on Jesus Christ. And so that's what this imagery is so exciting. How, wow, he went and he gave this offering, and here the angel of the Lord with his rod, he touched that and the fire came out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. That's verse 21. And then the angel of the Lord departed from his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And then the angel of the Lord is gone, right? And then next you see in verse 23, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, peace with God. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." And so there we see that God then gives him the direction to go here in verses 25 through 32, tells him to go and strike down let's just read that. Verse 25, "And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." And so Gideon, verse 27, "Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night." Okay, God allows us, God knows that we're frail. He was afraid to do this by day. He went by night and did it. And the verse 28, "And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the tower of Baal was cast down and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built." Now, how do we apply this to this day? I remember when people said, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher in the adult class was saying, "What's idols in our day and age?" So people say, "Well, a house, a car." And then I piped up and I said, "Oh, well, I mean, literally, like there was, every day I go to work in Calgary, I see the St. Christopher idol on a person's dash on their car, and they believe they need that for protection on the road." And I said, "That is a real idol that they think is necessary for protection." And I gave a illustration of somebody I knew that literally believed that that was his, he couldn't go on days off because he lost his St. Christopher's idol. And so today we have these idols, and there is a movement to get personhood for trees. There is a movement to get personhood for trees. Because many people in our society here, even in Grand Prairie, we go and go door to door, we see some of these idols on their porches. There are people that serve idols of wood and stone. They can't hear. Idols of wood and stone can't hear. They can't speak. They can't do anything. In fact, people have to nail them down sometimes so they don't totter and fall over. Well, here we see that here, even though he did it to his father's idol and the men of the city got so angry, his father, Joash, in verse 31 says unto them that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal, that idol? Will ye save him?" He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him, he's talking about Gideon, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. And so Gideon's father gave him a nickname, Jerubbaal, because to say that he broke down, or he cast down the idol Baal. Let Baal plead against him. And so now there's one thing that God had him do, and that's instructive to the children of Israel. Don't be worshiping idols. Isaiah 37:18. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria hath laid waste all the nations and their countries, verse 19, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. God is a living God. He's not a dead God like these idols that people make for themselves. People around us in Grand Prairie making idols for themselves. And then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also had gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Okay, remember, this is a famous one for Gideon. Gideon said unto the Lord, if thou wilt save Israel. Okay, verse 37. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Now, Gideon said that, but did that actually happen? Did Gideon know then, or believe, that Israel would be saved by God's hand? Well, God was faithful. That night, and so it was, verse 38, and so it was, he arose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And and the ground around was dry. And God said, and verse 39, and Gideon said unto the Lord, unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. And so we see, we remember somebody else that did something like that. John chapter 20, verse 29. John 20, 29. Well, so earlier, Thomas, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so then in verse 28, after Jesus, well, verse 27, then said Jesus to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He's recognizing Jesus Christ to be God, and he's worshiping him. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So God was understanding of Gideon. He's understanding of Thomas. He's understanding of us. 2 Timothy 2:13. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So even as a believer, if we're weak and we fail, we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. And that's the imagery we're getting about Israel. Why would not God just give up on Israel? Even when he was going to destroy all of Israel and use one of the Israelites, Moses himself, to continue on, that still would have been faithful to his covenant. But yet he heard the intercession that Moses gave for all the people. And God continued to work with his people. And so God will continue to work with you, even if you're weak. God will continue to work with you. And because you have his Holy Spirit living in you. And so that is why you're having trouble in the first place. Because if you're a believer in Christ, these things are bothering you because if you're not doing right. Because the Holy Spirit, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. But if you're not saved, it doesn't make any difference. You're not being chastened by the Lord. If you're a believer, you'll be chastened by the Lord. The Lord knows his own, and you know, you hear his voice, and you follow. Then, in chapter 7, wow. Chapter 7, verse 2, the Lord said unto Gideon, because see, he's still telling him to go. Gideon just got that sign from the Lord that God was really in this. That, yeah, we're going to go, you're going to go, and you're going to fight the Midianites. And verse 2 of chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, or boast themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Think of the people say, I'm a self-made man. Have you ever heard that? I'm a self-made man. God helps those that help themselves. Stuff like that. No, God helps those that follow him. And God is gracious to everybody, right? It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. God is just a good God. Now, therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So he started out with 32,000 soldiers. 22,000 were afraid, so they went home. Then the Lord said, bring them to the river. So we've got 22,000 down at the river. And he says, tell them to go and drink at the river. And so the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the men bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So they went down. Here's the river. Here's the creek. And they go and they bow down and they just drinking. Oh, they're so thirsty. They just drink out of the water. But now, why did these other 300? So that was how many? That was 9,700 went and they put their mouth down at the water. But these other, these 300, they go down like this and they scoop the water up. And they're drinking the water. Well, what's the difference? It's water, isn't it? Well, because those 300 were alert. They were being alert. Those others that had their face down in the water, they couldn't see what's going on around them. And so, you know, Gideon was a man of valor. I think these 300 were probably men of valor also. Now, not necessary, but this is God, way that God makes the distinction. There is... So, 9,700 of them, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man into his place. And so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets. So these 300, they, if I understand correctly, they took provision and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israelite, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So our verse for the week is, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. 32,000. 32,000 is too many. He narrowed it down, whittled it down to 300. And so those 300, what happened? Well, before it happened, Gideon, the Lord told Gideon to go into the, to sneak into the camp of the Midianites. So he snuck into the camp of the Midianites and he heard one of them speaking to the other. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled. This is verse 13 of chapter 7. Verse 13 of chapter 7. A cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the word or the sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. So this is a Midianite. These are the Midianites talking. These are the enemies talking among themselves. They believe that that dream of this barley cake, just this little barley cake rolling into the enemy camp, would knock down the tent. And the army is destroyed. They believe this is talking about Gideon, this man of valor of God. So they're afraid. Now, so Gideon was strengthened by that, hearing that. And so I can see that we will have the rest of the story next time, because we've run out of time. But... And so it is. Time would fail me to tell of Gideon. So, fails me today, but we'll continue with the rest of the story next time. But do you see the point here? That without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Gideon made a sacrifice to God on the rock, a blood sacrifice. And God accepted that. The Lord, that angel of the Lord, he touched it with his rod and fire came out of the rock and destroyed, just consumed it all. Our God is a consuming fire. But it is of God's mercies that we're not consumed. It was the blood of Christ that paid for this, all these people's sins way back then, Gideon, and also for my sins and for your sins. When Jesus Christ died on the cross. And so, if you've put your faith in and trust in Christ, then your faith is in the God who created all things. He is all powerful. He can do all things. And when He has an assignment for you, it's not a question, do I have the ability or the resources? It's, can I trust God?
Amen.
Is it consistent what God is talking for me to do, telling me to do? Is it consistent with His Word?
Amen.
There's so many amazing things in God's Word. And there is power in obeying God. Now, okay, what's this mighty thing that God wants me to do? Well, deal with the issue that's at hand.
Amen.
That's the thing you need to deal with. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And the first thing was abstain from fornication. That's a big item, because the imagery of fidelity, that's sexual purity before you're married, sexual purity before you're married, and sexual integrity when you are married, that is such an important thing to protect, because that's a message to the world. That's a powerful message. My cousin is just celebrating today his 40th wedding anniversary, and they both claim to trust Christ, and they've been in service of the Lord for many years, and that's a real testimony. And people have said that in the Facebook comments, that, wow, you know, praise God. And they're praising God for that testimony. They're not praising I've heard the world praise their fellow people, but it's praise to God for the imagery that God is faithful. Even if we're faithless, He remains, even if we're unbelieving, He remains faithful. So may that be an encouragement to you as you go deal with the item that the Holy Spirit is prodding you today, the item that's at hand. And then you will be found in the way, and God will use you. God is going to do, He is doing wonderful things, even things we are not even aware of. And we can thank God for that. All right, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we pray that Thou would help us to be encouraged by this fact that even though Gideon was afraid, he went at night, and then he was even unbelieving. He asked for that sign of the fleece, and You gave him the sign of the fleece, and then he asked for it to be done the other way, and you accommodated him. You understand that we're but dust. But there does come a point where, are we believing or not? And so Thomas just clearly understood when he saw, he didn't have to put his finger into the holes of Thy hands or thrust his hand into the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood, right? My Lord and my God. And he just worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank Thee, dear God, that the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood on our behalf, that we could be saved and have eternal life through Him. And so pray for those that are not saved here today, that they would be saved, trust Thee. And those of us that are saved, that we would be encouraged to know that You are not just all powerful, but You are wooing us, and you have allowed us a free will. And we thank Thee for this wisdom that You have, and we thank Thee, dear God, and praise Thy holy name. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.